You're listening to Scouting for Goals, the fantasy football podcast on URM.
Crystal Palace are playing Chelsea away. I mean, they're bound to score away eventually.
You need to buy Gross or Richarlison this week before the price goes up.
Everyone in the league has De Gea and got a clean sheet. Lloris was a poor choice.
Can you just have 11 Man City players?
The form Salah is in, I'd happily take the 4-point hit to fit him in.
Man United are playing West Ham this week. Lukaku scored in 9 out of his last 10 games against them. He's got to be a shout for triple captain.
I'm risking sending Lacazette from Rats this week because I need a striker who's guaranteed to start.
A double game week is exactly what Bench Boost is designed for.
So Burnley have turned Turf Moor into a fortress recently. Their defenders are perfect if you're on a budget.
Goal-scoring defenders are such a help. Kolasinac gets the nod for me.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome back for the second ever episode of the Scouting for Goals Fantasy Football Podcast here on URN. I'm Alex Zonneveld. I'm joined today once again by the Rochdale Ripper himself. It's James Morehouse. Jim, what's going on?
I'm a little insulted by that nickname, but you know what? We can roll with it. It's a good time. Enjoying. Just
enjoying life,
again.
Enjoying life. Yeah.
I mean, last time I was talking about enjoying time, and I'm still enjoying time. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to another show.
Yeah, I think as we all, and as our many listeners, I mean, published our first one on Twitter, got quite a bit of good feedback, didn't it, Jim?
Well, I think I retweeted it and I liked it once, and I think that was just about it. But
yeah, my mum saw it. She went, well, maybe if you up the quality a bit, you might get a retweet from me.
My grandma said it was awful, so she said she's never listening again.
Never listening again. Well, if you are listening, Nana Morehouse, give us a shout, message us in, and we'll get you on the show. going over the last game week, Jim, how'd it go for you?
It was pretty awful, if I'm honest. Not an improvement on last week at all. I ended up getting 38 points.
38 points, that's pretty pathetic. I'd say anyone who gets less than 44 is doing quite badly.
That's quite
week.
Convenient that you say 44, isn't it? David De Gea, we mentioned him on the last podcast. We said, get him in your team. He got a clean sheet against Huddersfield at home, which was unsurprising, but, you know, you take the points. Then Mohamed Salah, once again, he grabbed 2 goals against Spurs at home, so that got me a very nice 15 points. It's just a shame that I didn't captain him. And instead chose to captain the midfield maestro that is Paul Pogba, thinking, you know, home to Huddersfield, that's a great shout. He's got a really good chance of getting an assist or maybe even a goal there. And he got benched for Scott McTominay.
At least he got a point.
He got a singular point.
Yeah, well, it's doubled.
It's doubled, yeah. So I got 2 points from Pogba, which was thoroughly disappointing. And I'll be having a word with Jose Mourinho saying, why are you ruining my chances in the URN Fantasy League? Because a poor game week there has really cost me. So thanks a lot, Jose.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it sounds like a bit of a shame. Just to let you guys know, the national average was 43. And, Jim, you got slightly below that. I actually smashed the national average with a mighty 45 points. So, pretty happy. I got, again, similar to you, 6 from De Gea. Lovely clean sheet. I think at this point, it's agreed, anyone who doesn't have De Gea, put him in, really. It's a bit stupid. But I'm sure we'll come on to that later. Salah, sitting on 15 points. Lovely. And Decore got me 10. But my captain was a bit of a mare again, in that I was thinking, who do I go for? Do I go Wilson? Do I go Salah? And I was thinking, well, Salah, I mean, Liverpool, Tottenham, I don't know if he's going to perform. I don't know if he's going to show up. Whereas Callum Wilson, I mean, he's pretty much destined to score. He's pretty much destined to score. Home to Stoke, Bournemouth have been doing fairly well. You'd fancy him to put at least 2 or 3 past, and they did, except Wilson did absolutely nothing. So, lovely that.
Yeah, that was a quite disappointing performance from Wilson. Obviously, I've got him in my side as well, so I was hoping he'd grab a goal or two against Stoke, but it wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't, I think. It wasn't. It's a real shame, though. But, hey, I mean, listen, if you're looking at the URN Fantasy Football League, we're still holding down the fort. I'm still sat in second. You're still in fourth.
Not bad. I'll take fourth out of however many years. 23, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
that's where the big boys have come to play, and Fourth out of 23, I'll take that. You know, it's not too bad at all.
You sound very excited by it.
Oh, I am.
I can just hear the excitement I'm flowing from your
palpitating
voice.
Palpitating with excitement.
Palpitating with excitement.
Oh, no. Stop. Stop okay. trying.
And now we're going to move on to our official segment of the show, Lionel Messi or Lionel Messed Up. I think the most creatively named segment, if I may say so. It was a pretty good idea.
It was a great idea. We even had a backup choice, didn't we?
We did. Jim, do you want to tell them what the backup choice was?
It was Ballon d'Or or Ballon d'Or. But I think Lionel Messi or Lionel Messed Up just about trumped it.
Exactly. Rather than actually focusing on our teams, we spent too much time, I think, looking at funny names for segments.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Lionel Messed Up for this week is who, Jimmy? Who have we gone for?
Well, it's a bit of a throwback to episode one. It's the entire Chelsea setup 2.0. They've had such a nightmare couple of weeks where we felt it was, you know, unjustified to give it to anyone else. So once again, Chelsea will be receiving that wooden spoon in the post. We sent it over. We didn't get a response, but you know, maybe when they receive a second one, they'll start thinking.
I think we're just going to start spamming them with spoons.
Yes. Maybe that'll teach them to turn their form around.
Yeah,
if they keep getting spoons, then I'm sure they'll have an upturn in form soon.
As a Chelsea fan, I normally don't have to experience too much hardship. I think it's fairly safe to say. I mean, you're a Rochdale fan. I feel like it's unfair for me to complain too much to you about it. But we were just so abysmally bad. I mean, honestly, Bakayoko, what are you doing? Why is he on the pitch? Why is he on the pitch? He should be no way near, not just Chelsea's football pitch, any. He should not be allowed to play football. And if the FA came out and said he's been banned for life, you know what? I'll back it. I'll back that ban because, oh my, just atrociously bad. He got two bookings, right? Got sent off. Incredibly, although we were terrible after he got sent off, we were better without him on the pitch. We were better with 10 men than we were with him on. He was more of a hindrance than he was a help. And I have to say, once again, it's the man Eden Hazard dragging the team through. But really, we were really poor. We were really, really poor. And I was relying very heavily on Marcus Alonso and Azpilicueta in defence. Azpilicueta conceded 4 goals. Marcus Alonso wasn't even in the team sheet. So, yeah, Antonio Conte, not a big fan of yours at the minute.
So is Bakayoko going to be in your fantasy team anytime
soon?
Yeah,
yeah, I was thinking of popping him in today.
Not very good. He's not very good, is he? I don't really understand. He was quite good for Monaco last season and they had a good run in the Champions League, but he's not started well at all. And when you pull out a performance like that, it's not really going to help you out. I'm pretty sure the Chelsea fans were booing him when he was walking off the pitch after his second booking.
So they should. So they should. After a performance like that, he should call his mum and go, "Mum, I'm really upset." And she should say, "You know what? I don't want to talk to you right now." That's the level of disappointment we should be dealing with here. But yeah, so that's who our... Lionel Messed Up, though, still has to go to Chelsea, though. Because although I'd love it to go to Bakayoko, and he's getting a very special mention here, the whole team was still pretty poor. And I mean, Conte, to rest Alonso, yeah, you'd think, like, oh, we should really win this game. At the same time, it's not a walkover. Have him on the bench. Have him on the bench. He wasn't really injured. I get it, you need to rest players, but he would have been a player where, if our attack isn't working, as it hasn't been for the last few weeks, get him on. Also, Giroud brought on the last 15 minutes. Why so late? Why so late? Bring him on earlier. And I'm not just saying this because he's in my team, although that does play a part in it. But seriously? Come on. Just poor show, poor show.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. Giroud is a man who can hold up the ball. And when you've got 10 men, that's what you need. You need to keep hold of the ball because otherwise, as we eventually saw in the last 10 minutes, which was probably the most horror show period of the match, you know, they could have done with keeping the ball a bit more because Watford just cut through your defence so many times in the last few minutes. So I think, yeah, I agree that Giroud should have come on a lot earlier, and I think that Bakayoko shouldn't have started because he's been pretty awful.
He's proven himself to be just ineffective.
Well, I saw a thing saying on Twitter, I think it was, where he said you spent 80 million on Bakayoko and Drinkwater when you've got Loftus-Cheek and Chaloba in your academy. And I know this is something that like gets you a lot, but like Chaloba was let go for such a minimal fee and Loftus-Cheek sent out on loan. And I'd say they're both better than Bakayoko and Drinkwater. So I don't understand why they weren't getting played, to be honest.
But now, Jimmy, I think you'll remember last week where we made a pretty brilliant prediction. Where we said, you know what, there's a clear person to bring in. There's a midfielder and he's quite versatile. Right, and he's had a lot of stick in the past. But Arsenal Everton, we picked a midfielder and he was going to be cracking. And we just knew he was going to play well. And who was it we said?
Oh, it was Theo Walcott.
It was Theo Walcott. That's not the player we're going to give our Lionel Messi award to. Who's the player we're going to give our Lionel Messi award to, Jim?
It's Aaron Ramsey. After his sparkling performance against Everton, Walcott was absolutely nowhere to be seen, I think, in most of that match. So maybe our expert opinion wasn't quite right on this occasion. But yeah, Ramsey grabbing a hat-trick in that game. Arsenal were brilliant for the first half. They absolutely blew Everton away. And for him to grab a hat-trick is a real testament. He's going to come through, and I think certainly over the next few weeks, if Arsenal do start and putting a good run of form together, then he could be a good option for any fantasy team.
He's certainly a player to keep your eye on, really. He's played phenomenally well. Theo Walcott, on the other hand, looks very, very lost through the game. And yeah, I don't think we were wrong. I think that we're going to be right at some other point.
Maybe on one show we'll get one thing right.
Absolutely. Professionalism at its finest.
Yeah.
Now we'll move on to some predictions. So in terms of your predictions for the teams to watch this week, we've picked out a few, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. I think the obvious choice is Manchester City. They're at home to Leicester. Leicester, obviously, not the worst team and quite good at counter-attacking, but you got to back City to put a couple of goals past them at least. So maybe you'd stick with a City defender. I don't know whether they'll get a clean sheet, because Leicester, you know, they are quite good going forward, but it's defensively where Leicester have their problems, and City's attack, I think, will just be too strong for them. So you're looking at the likes of De Bruyne and Sterling, or maybe even Bernardo Silva, who's emerged in the starting lineup since Sane's injury. So any Manchester City attack, I think, will be a good option at home to Leicester.
I think the one big question for me about that game is Riyad Mahrez. Is Riyad Mahrez going to start? Will he have got over his hissy fit by then or not? I think that's going to prove to be a really pivotal question in how Leicester perform and whether or not really you should be putting City defenders in the lineup. I think City are going to win. I'm certainly going to be looking at bringing in someone like Sterling into my team, because I think he's a phenomenal player and he's 9 million, which is expensive. But if you think about it, 9 million and Martial was 8.1 million. So really, I mean, you need to just try and find some space in that squad for him, because I think it'll be worthwhile. But I think the City defence is potentially one to avoid for that game, so I still think Leicester will hit him on the counter.
Yeah, well, I did put Damari Gray in my team just a few minutes ago, so I'm hopeful that he can grab a couple, because I still don't have any Manchester City players in my team. I don't understand why, but every week I just think, oh, I'll put them in next week, and that's probably why I'm only fourth in the league. So Damari Gray to grab a couple, hopefully, but I think realistically we're looking at a Manchester City win there.
One game I picked up on is Bournemouth. Well, it's Bournemouth away to Huddersfield. Huddersfield-Bournemouth. I really do fancy Bournemouth to put a few past them.
Yeah, I agree. Bournemouth, I think, 1-3 on the trot now or something like that, you know, beating Arsenal and Chelsea in that time. And Huddersfield have just looked devoid of any real confidence going forward recently. So I think Bournemouth defenders certainly could be a shout travelling to Huddersfield, and equally attackers. I think Callum Wilson in both of our teams, so I think we're both hoping that he can grab one or two goals there, and I think he's certainly got the potential to grab some points when they go to Huddersfield.
It would be lovely to watch him get a hat-trick and vindicate his lack of goals against Stoke in the previous game week, which has cost me a fair few points and the chance to leap back to the top of the URN tables. But there we go. Games to avoid. I think the obvious one is Tottenham Arsenal, because that is one where literally anything can happen.
Yeah, similar to Tottenham Liverpool, we highlighted that would be a game to avoid, because we didn't really know what would happen. And it was shown in the match, you know, 2-1-1 in the 90th minute and then 2-2 a few minutes later. So you just don't know with this game. It's a derby game, so you got to factor that in, and it's it could go anyway. You know, it could be a win, it could be a draw.
Could it be a loss for either team?
It could be a loss for either team. Yeah.
You heard it here first. One of the teams may or may not lose. We've got something very interesting for you. We have a first ever for Scouting for Goals, the Fantasy Football Podcast here on your end. We have a guest coming into the studio, so...
Introducing this week's guest.
You alright? I don't think I'm really worth in this show anymore. I can't be dropping down to sixth from the league.
Sixth of the league, that's right. Your exclusive first ever guest here on the Scouting for Goals podcast is our very own Alex Buxton from URN Sport here. And we're basically going to be running through how his week went, or her week in the future, and then going over some picks of the week. You guys know the drill by now. It's our second show. Come on, if you're not with it, you're not true fans. So Alex, obvious question, how'd your game week go?
Oh, the thing is, I wouldn't be able to tell you how my game week went until I've just got it up now. I've had a bit of the Christmas blues where I got into the Christmas period and kind of forgot all about fantasy football. But I've actually had an all right week. I'm just above the average points, getting 45. But that is being carried by three players in particular. Salah gave me 15 points. He's been a focal point in my team all season. Gross has done very well from Brighton, also getting 13 points at my two players in double digits. And then, except for those two, it's only really Sterling, who's my captain, who got me a solid 6 points, not doing too much else.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you've just you've had a few wonder strokes in the same way that me and Jimmy really have, because I think the story of our week was just having two players who did well and then getting a bit lucky, but on the whole, not brilliant picks.
Not brilliant picks. I mean, it's obviously a team that's out of practice, really. Not being given the tender love and care enough in recent weeks. There's actually three injured players in that starting lineup, so I think that's part of my decline from third in the table back down to sixth.
You have given me a bit of the hit to the ego, though, there, because with three injured players in your starting lineup, you did equal my points for this week. So I can only imagine how Jimmy over there felt.
I'm just crying inside right now. Absolutely no dedication to fantasy football. You know, I'm there every week changing my team, and 300 players and you still come away.
If you talk to me, I was a different man. I actually came in the top 10,000 in England, having put £100 on the line in my fantasy football league last year. So I had a bit more to play for.
It's like a celebrity guest, this, isn't it? Top 10,000.
Yeah, we'll check you out. We'll see if our listeners want to have a whip round, see if they can give you the motivation for this year. But I wouldn't stake your life on it, I'll be honest. We're going to move on now to our picks of the week. The part of the show we go through the golden goalie, dogged defender, midfield maestro, and sharp striker that we've picked out for this week. So my golden goalie for the week, I mean, it goes without saying, David De Gea. That's the pretty obvious one. I'm not even going to address him because, you listen, United, they're almost... Well, I'd say it's very, very probable they're going to keep a clean sheet away to Newcastle. It's not inconceivable that they concede a goal, maybe a lucky goal for Newcastle, but it's very, very likely. But my actual golden goalie for this week is Nick Pope, the Burnley keeper. He stepped up to the plate a huge amount. They're away to Swansea, and after their performance against Man City, I mean, you've really got to fancy him to keep a clean sheet, or at least keep the number of goals Swansea score to a minimum.
Yeah, certainly. I think even though Swansea are on the up, I think Burnley will just go there probably in Sean Dyche typical manner and just probably settle for that point. And when I look at Burnley-Swansea, it just screams 0-0. So I think in terms of having a Burnley keeper or maybe even a Burnley defender, I think would be a good option there.
Also, give a bit more analysis on that point. Given that Wilfred Bony is now out injured, Leroy Fer, two quite attacking players of Swansea, that might also help Nick Pope keep the clean sheet against the high-flying Swans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the combination of the strong Burnley defence, just the fact that they can really hold out anyone, and the lack of Swansea's firepower is going to be massive, unless this is the game where Renato Sanchez finally decides to show up.
I think he's still in Germany, isn't he?
Has he gone?
I don't know. He probably deserves it.
He might well be. Yeah, it doesn't really make a difference. He's going to score the same number of goals either way.
He was in my team for the first 2 weeks or so until I realised that he was an absolutely terrible shout.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't really have the impact I think they hoped. It was, to be fair, one of the weirdest decisions of all time, at least for me, when I saw that he'd gone to Swansea on loan. But there you go.
Well, some people praise it as the signing of the season before they actually watched him play.
Are you trying to justify your own beliefs?
To be fair, it was Paul Merson who said that, so maybe not quite an accurate source.
Jim, who have you gone for Golden Goalie this week?
I've gone for Jack Butland, sticking the theme with keepers who play for slightly lower down teams. His Stoke team are at home to Brighton. And now Brighton, although they're in quite indifferent form, they don't travel well at all, and in Stoke's last home game, I think they won 2-0. So Paul Lambert, obviously coming in just a few weeks ago, another chance at home to a slightly less able side in Brighton. No disrespect to them, but I think Stoke should be hoping to keep a clean sheet in that match, because really it's a must win for them. So I think Butland is a good shout for Golden Goalie this week.
Yeah, I mean, the last time Brighton won a game away from home was on the 4th of November, where they got a 1-0 against Swansea. So, I mean, it's definitely a good shout. You can't really fancy them to get a result. And although Stoke, yeah, they're not the best defensively at the minute, I'd certainly back that. I think it's a decent choice. Alex, is there anyone you've picked out this week?
I mean, I think you both say very good choices here, but I'm actually going to go for the kind of the new bonus system that they seem to have implemented in the last few seasons with points coming for saves. So I'm actually going to go for the away side, Nick Pope from Burnley as well, because I think he will have more to do than Jack Butland in goal, given Brighton's lack of attacking threat. And I think he'll definitely not only get the clean sheet, but a few bonus points as well.
It'd be very nice. Nil-nil, chances are I think you'll be right. I think you pretty much are guaranteed at least one or two bonus points, if not the full three. But yeah, it'd be lovely to get a clean sheet. But I mean, hey, we can talk Nick Pope, we can talk Jack Butland. At the end of the day, David Gea has to be that starting man.
He's never going to leave my side, to be honest. He could be out for 3 months and I probably wouldn't take him out of my fantasy football team, because he's just a mainstay. He's got so many points. United don't concede any goals. He's just a logical choice most game weeks, unless they're playing City.
To be fair, even if you did keep him in your side for 3 months while out injured, he wouldn't concede. So that is a nice little factor.
Exactly.
Moving on to our dogged defender now. I have picked out, I think he's a fairly good shout, a bit of an expensive one, one I've had in my team since he signed, Virgil van Dijk. He had a pretty good game against Tottenham, despite the result. He looked very threatening, one header especially. I mean, it was a really good save from Lloris, but it should have gone in. Against Southampton, his old club, away from home, I really fancy A, a clean sheet, and B, I think he might even score a header or something.
Yeah, certainly. I think Van Dijk's a good shout there, because Southampton in quite poor form, and Liverpool, they always seem to beat Southampton, probably because they've got half the team. So, yeah, I think Van Dijk's got to be a good chunk for travelling to Southampton there.
I mean, the fact that Liverpool, I mean, I'm not really sure how you can put any Liverpool defender in your team, really. The amount of goals they ship, I mean, they've hardly been solid at the back even in the games that Virgil van Dijk's played, so I still think a centre-back from Liverpool is a bit of a rogue shout for me.
Yeah, their defence is notoriously bad. But I know they were easy opposition. If you take the game against Huddersfield, where they won 3-0 away from home, Huddersfield didn't even get near the goal. There was no point Huddersfield looked like scoring. Game before that, they did lose 1-0 to Swansea, but Swansea scored once, and then they clung on for dear life. They didn't even come close to the goal again. And even against Tottenham, really, that should have been a 2-0. It took a phenomenal goal and a questionable penalty at best to break that Liverpool defence.
The thing is, there's two games you said they shouldn't have conceded, yet they still did concede due to their terrible defence.
It wasn't due to their terrible defence, so that's what I'm arguing. I think the Swansea goal was a bit of a lucky break. And against Tottenham, you're dealing with a situation where it was an unstoppable goal. Victor Wanyama. And the penalty, I mean, they had two penalties. It's arguable that neither of which should have really been penalties in the first place. So I think it's a matter of time before Liverpool do start keeping clean sheets. That's my prediction. Put in Liverpool defenders, because they'll get you clean sheets.
Fair enough.
Jim, have you picked out your dogged defender for this week?
I have, yeah, and it's quite a rogue shout. It's Seamus Coleman. He's just coming back from injury. He played in the match they had in midweek, I think, against Leicester, and he was very good, despite the fact that he broke his leg some months ago, and he'd only probably not at full match fitness. But I think he is going to start becoming a mainstay of that Everton team. And although they lost 5-1 to Arsenal, I think they'll be looking for a response certainly when they play Palace at home at the weekend. So I think Coleman is not only a good shout for a potential clean sheet, but he's a player who gets forward a lot, and when he's on form, he scores goals and gets assists too. So I think Seamus Coleman is my shout for doggy defender this week.
I'm actually going to disagree with you here. I know, strange one. Not so much because of Coleman. I think he's a fairly good shout. My disagreement, it comes really for two reasons. One, their opposition is Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace score. They may not win. They pretty much score every game. The last time they didn't score was when they drew 0-0 with Man City on New Year's Eve. I mean, that's the last time they didn't score. Every game they've had in January, they scored in the Prem. The other thing is Everton are having a massive issue at the minute with their attack. They're playing incredibly defensive football, which may sound good on paper, but I think that what they're going to have to start doing, what Big Sam's realising now, is, okay, it's not working, changes are going to have to be made. And that doesn't mean Coleman losing his place in the spot in the squad necessarily, but what it does mean is they're probably going to have to start implementing new styles, new tactics, which may not work, and it may mean they start, at least for the next 3-4 weeks, conceding goals on a more regular basis. That's my big issue with it.
Well, that does sound like an expert opinion, to be honest. You've outwitted me there, to be fair, with the stats.
In this game of mental chess, I'm winning.
You are winning. You've just you've taken out some of my bishops, I think, there. Because now that you say that, I'm probably not going to put Coleman in my team, because that's kind of persuading me otherwise. But you know what? He can still be my dogged defender. I'll stick with him.
I might actually jump in on Jimmy's defence here and try and outwit number two in the league's honour vote with the fact that a few attacking players, I mean, Bakary Sakho is now injured for a considerable period of time, and he's been the kind of rejuvenating factor in their kind of recent upturn and goals. So the loss of him and the kind of no real replacement except from Lee Chung-Yung, who's hardly performed for Crystal Palace, I don't see them being quite as lucrative in front of goal.
Moving on to the midfield maestro now. We've picked up on a few players this week. Jim, who have you picked up on? Who's one of them?
Well, I think the main, if we're talking expensive options and cheaper options, the big cheese is Raheem Sterling. We talked about City being home to Leicester earlier on, and I think him or even De Bruyne or Silva, anyone like that, will be a good shout to put in, because I think they will put a few past Leicester. So yeah, Sterling is the expensive man that could be the midfield maestro this week. But I think my cheaper option is probably going to be Gerard Deulofeu. We saw him play on Monday night against Chelsea, where he won a penalty and scored a goal. I think he was very decent when he played for Everton in his previous spell in the Premier League. And he's a player that he's got a very good cross on him, and he's going to get assists. And Watford, I think, will take a lot of confidence from that performance against Chelsea. And with them travelling to West Ham, who are obviously just so inconsistent, I think he could certainly pick up a few points. So I think my midfield maestro this week is going to be Gerard Deulofeu.
Another player, when we're talking about Watford players, we really have to look at is Decore, of course, who I only really picked up on because he's a cheap midfielder who plays consistently. 13% of players have him in. He got 10 points against Chelsea with two separate assists, and he's been playing very well. And I think looking at this run, he's definitely worth putting in if you do want like a cheap midfielder.
I think he's always been quite relatively consistent. I think I avoided him at the start because I always thought he's been a bit like, I think it's Capu last year or the year before, who was absolutely banging them in the first few weeks, and everyone started transferring him in, and then he just tailed off completely and then actually stopped starting, let alone getting points. But Decore has actually managed to consistently get these points. I mean, they're not on a consistent basis, but getting high amounts of points enough times for him to really warrant staying in your team.
But the question is, if you have to choose between one, if you have to choose between maybe the slightly more proven, at least this season, player Decore or Deulofeu, who do you go for?
I think you probably stick with Decore for now on the safe option. Obviously, you want to sometimes get ahead of the trend with new signings, but Deulofeu has sometimes struggled in the Premier League, and I wouldn't race the signing just yet.
Jim?
I probably have to disagree with that. I think of the two, Deulofeu is maybe even probably going to be cheaper. I don't actually know how much he costs yet, but he's a much more attacking midfielder as well. Doucouré is sort of a, I'd say maybe box to box, and primarily seems more defensive wise, but obviously he has scored a few goals this season. But I think it's more sporadically picking up a few points every now and then than getting consistent goals and assists, whereas I think Deulofeu can certainly bring a consistent run of form.
Moving ahead now to sharp striker of the week, Jim, there's one name on everyone's mind. We sort of briefly discussed him last week. Who do you think has to be in the team at this point?
I think Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang probably has to be in your team, or at least considering putting him in. He showed, I think, despite not being at full match fitness, he showed what he can do, the sort of finishes that he can apply, even though it was slightly offside. He did get that goal against Everton, and I think with him and Mkhitaryan in the same team, they're going to start and build the sort of relationship that they had at Borussia Dortmund, and that was a very productive one in terms of goals and assists. So certainly Aubameyang, I think, maybe not for this week because they go to Tottenham, but in the coming game weeks, he's certainly a man that you're going to want to be having in your team, because I think he will score a lot.
I wouldn't even be that nervous about putting him in my team this week. I mean, Everton played with five at the back against Arsenal, and both Mkhitaryan and him also managed to get a decent amount of points. And given that Spurs haven't been quite as solid as the backs they were last year, I mean, Lloris has not been performing as well as we know he can do. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Arsenal might not win this game. I still think it could well be a high-scoring affair, with a lot of the attacking players still getting as many points as they do against the lower teams.
Another player which is more of a controversial shout, I still think it's a half-decent one, though. He had an awful game against Liverpool, but still, Harry Kane. I'd just be interested to hear what you guys have to say, because I know it may seem like the obvious shout, etc., but people have started taking him out. And just looking at Tottenham's run, after this Arsenal game, they have Palace away, Huddersfield at home, Bournemouth away, and Newcastle at home.
I'd be quite interested to know who they're replacing him for, because, I mean, at the moment, even if he's might not have the best run of form, he's on 161 points, and the closest to him is Aguero on 141, which is a big 20-point gap, and the ones behind him are even further behind. So, yeah, I know Harry, Tottenham might have a hard run of form, but Harry Kane, on the whole, can perform against any team. He's not really like Lukaku, who can only do it against the lesser teams. And I think it's really, unless you can invest that money so like in stronger players in your midfield, where a lot of the points we made this year, I think it'd be madness not to have him in your team.
Yeah, I agree. I've had Harry Kane, and since the start, he's my captain most weeks. He might not score against Arsenal, but at the end of the day, you keep him in for the long term, because his price has inflated so much, especially after those like back-to-back hat-tricks which he got over Christmas. And at the end of the day, he scores a lot of goals. If Spurs are scoring goals, then he's scoring goals. So I certainly won't be taking Kane out of my team anytime soon.
And our final segment, a bit of humour. We've gone a bit serious today, but we're going to lighten it up a bit with possibly the best What Were They Thinking so far, albeit only episode two. But this person, I have never heard of such a story. Jim, you saw this on Twitter, didn't you?
I did, yeah. That's usually my basis for humour. So we saw last week the triple captaining of Phil Jones, which was baffling enough, but this was something special. Albeit a little unlucky. Essentially, one fantasy football player was unfortunate enough to get 50 points on his bench, and he didn't use his bench boost, so he didn't recover it. He had the Huddersfield goalkeeper, Lossell, which was understandable for benching him, but he saved the penalty and got maximum bonus points, so he got 10 points there. He benched Fernandez of Swansea, who scored away at Leicester and got 10 points. He benched Doucouré, who also got 10 points with 2 assists against Chelsea. And then worst of all, he benched Aaron Ramsey, who of course scored that hat-trick, won the Lionel Messi award on this wonderful podcast, and got 20 points. So a massive 50 points on his bench. Yeah, what was he thinking?
My big question is, was he listening to the podcast and did he hear our advice about Theo Walcott and go, you know what, I'll bench Ramsey and bring Walcott into the mix? But yeah, I think in a way he's probably slightly more intelligent than the 12, or was it 13, 13 fans?
Yeah.
13 fans last week who triple captained Phil Jones and got -6 for their troubles.
I'm still not quite sure why anyone would ever triple captain a defender. Because surely
you'd think safe points, but our big thing about last week was fair enough sometimes, but when they chose to captain him, it was away to Spurs. So yeah, but in terms of this week, I mean, 50 points on your bench, that is it unlucky or is it just plain stupid?
Probably a bit of both, really. Yeah. I mean, he's unlucky there on the bench, but I mean, it's still pretty stupid to have that quality of player on the bench as well.
Yeah, certainly. I think I'm a bit more forgiving in terms of this person because...
Father Jimmy.
Yeah, he didn't... it's not like he triple-counts in Phil Jones, but I don't understand having Ramsey on the bench or Doucouré on the bench there because why would you? Why would you bet? He must have brought in some other players who were better, but it's just not worked out for
him. The thing is, right, I'm trying to understand. I can understand three of them. I can understand Lossell. I mean, Lossell makes quite a lot of sense to be United away to Huddersfield. I mean, it's unlucky, but come on. The chance they probably had De Gea, which is still 6 points. If he didn't, that's another story. Fernandes, yeah, I understand it less. Away to Leicester, still you don't fancy him to keep a clean sheet necessarily. I still get it. Even with Doucouré, I had him in my team. I actually left him in. But home to Chelsea, you got to think, is he really going to do that much? Most people, I'd imagine, were thinking Chelsea were going to dominate the game. I get that. The one I really can't wrap my head around is why you bench Aaron Ramsey.
I just don't understand it.
Against Everton, a team who clearly are lacking any sort of attack, that they've been conceding left, right and centre. I just don't get it. It really doesn't. What were they thinking? I think we're pretty much running to an end now of the podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed our second ever episode of Scouting for Goals. I know I've enjoyed it. Jimmy Morehouse, have you enjoyed it?
Of course I've enjoyed it. You know, it's been great fun. It always is.
Always is. And Alex Buxton, you've been our first ever guest. Are you planning on making any changes due to what you've heard today?
Oh, no. I listen to your podcast every week. I mean, last weekend.
Last week, yeah.
I made some changes and it went pretty badly for me. So I'm sure I'll keep doing it, though.
I'm sure. Oh, that means a huge amount to me and I'm sure Jimmy as well. But that does mark an end to our second podcast. If you do enjoy, feel free to follow us on Twitter. Jim, what's the details for following us on Twitter?
It's at @urnfantasyfooty, or if you just search Scouting for Goals, you should probably pop up on there. So yeah, give us a follow and you can get easy access to our every podcast that we release, as well as some expert opinions on random Premier League matches every now and then, I'm sure.
And we will be, I can confirm, we will be giving a public shout out to our 50th follower. So feel free to get that milestone down, be in the history of URN Sport. But yeah, I've been Alex Arneveld. I've been joined today by my co-host Jimmy Morehouse and our lovely guest Alex Buxton. And we'll be back very soon.